of them.
Oh, the chair is there. Okay, I just want chair to advise that some of the members are still stuck with the plenary. But I'm sure some of us, as you are also here, like Nola, who's reading our motions and without notice and motions. But I think others will join us, Chairperson.
We're interrupting, but I cannot hear. Is the committee meeting on? Good evening, Whip. This is Naledi Pando. I've been trying to call you, comrade.
How are you, Honorable Minister?
No, I'm well, Comrade Whip. I was trying to call you, Comrade Baza, because I heard you speaking earlier.
Yes.
And then I don't know, you just disappeared. What happened?
I thought I just indicated that some members were still stuck. I don't know whether the plenary is still on.
So, okay.
And I was checking with the chair that are we proceeding, because I could see that there is quite a number of them who are already here. So the chair then did not respond. So I'm trying now to find out what is happening, because I know she's still not feeling very well, but. So that we can then decide
how
to process forward, yeah.
All right.
Long time no see, Minister.
Yeah, you need to, we need to talk.
All right, okay, no, that's fine. Okay. Let me phone the chair and then find out what's the situation and then...
All right, thank you, Comrade.
Now I'm getting the message now that the chair... it's just indicating that the plenary is just finished now, so I think she will then cross over here and then start the meeting.
Okay.
Sure. Okay, on members, she is struggling with connection, but as soon as she log in, then she will take over. But she has requested me to start the meeting in the meantime. So I think let me then welcome all honorable members. And Mr. Skwela, can you please fly to the agenda for us? Mr. Skwela, are you part of the meeting? Hello?
Yes, sir.
Yes, can you please flat the agenda for us so that we can start? The chair will join us later and then she will take over.
Okay, not a long wait.
I can't see clearly. It's very small, but okay, I can see we've got six agenda items. And let me welcome the honorable members and apologize for starting late because there was an overlap of this starting time with the plenary, which was still going on. But let me welcome everyone, Minister, Honorable Pando, Deputy Minister, Honorable Bottes, and members of the committee, and also our support staff and the department, which is with us here. Now, I think we can then just go to the next item. And Mr. Skwela, can you assist us on that item which deals with the apologies? Are there an apologies from your side? Mr. Skwela, can you unmute your mic? Your line is terrible, Mr. Skwela. We can't hear you properly. Can you change the spot? You are talking from a big hole and there's echo also, so we can't really hear you.
Can you hear me now?
Yeah, I can hear you, but you are far away from your mic. But can you say, can you mention what apologies do we have?
We have two apologies. Omu Mwana, who joined the legislature, and Omu joined the authority to join, but he's not going to join, so he's not
sure. Okay, thanks very much, Mr. Skwela. Although, really, we're struggling to hear you, but two apologies. Honorable members, can I have a mover of those apologies and a seconder?
I move that the apologies be accepted, sir.
Thanks, Honorable Sir. Any seconder?
A second, sir.
Okay, Honorable Nkosi, thanks very much. Without wasting any time, let's then get the mover of the adoption of the agenda as it was presented by our committee secretary.
I move for the adoption.
Thanks, Honorable Swart. Seconda?
A second, sir.
Thanks, Honorable Ngosi. Okay, without wasting any time, I don't know who is representing the department. Can I request those who are coming from the department to introduce themselves and then indicate who is going to be leading us with the presentation. I don't want us to go to the last issue that we dealt with in our last portfolio committee, where members were expressing unhappiness about the fact that the acting DG was not present at the meeting, and there was no apology. And then people who were coming from the department had to introduce themselves, whereas we have an established norm in this committee that officials from the department are introduced by the DG, and then he decides who to hand over to do the presentation. So I will be guided by members, but be without preempting, because I've not seen whether the acting DG is in or not. Can we just get someone from the department so that we will then ascertain whether the DG is here or not, and whether there's been communication with the office of the chair or the committee secretary that maybe someone is delegated from the department. But when we listened to the apologies, we did not hear any apologies from the department. So can I then get someone from the department?
If I could, DG, this is Naledi Pando.
Yes,
if I could, sorry, Chairperson, my apologies.
Okay.
Chairperson, I've got the DG who should be online. I saw that she was earlier. I'm not sure why her name is not showing. But the acting DG, correctly I should have said, acting DG Losi, Ambassador Losi, should be connected, and I believe she will lead the presentation on the item on the agenda. Through you, Chairperson. Thank you very much.
Thanks very much, Minister, for that. Because also the other issue that we wanted also to be dealt with, as I'm talking about our last portfolio committee, was that the acting DG was not yet introduced in the committee by a good self, or maybe one of the deputy ministers who were present. So if she comes, then we will request you, Minister, to formally introduce her to the committee, and then we will then take the matter or the process forward once we have done that. Now, honorable members, I don't know whether what are you suggesting, then do we wait? Because I'm not sure whether the DG, but if she is here, if she can indicate.
I'm here, sir.
Okay.
I'm here, sir. Thank you very much.
Okay. Nice to see you, but you are not clearly visible. I don't know whether maybe my screen
now. Visible now? Can... Okay.
Yes, yes, yes. You look bright and shining, and we welcome you. But can I hand over to the minister to do the formal introduction of yourself to the committee?
Thank you very much, Chairperson. I noted Honourable Msani had her hand up. I'm not sure whether she wished to comment before I am allowed to speak, as well as I noted Reverend Mishwe's hand was also up. I don't know if there's a point that they may make which could assist me in the task you've assigned to me. Thank you, Chair.
Okay, thanks very much, Minister. My apology, honorable members. I was not watching the area where you raised your hands. So you can just then, as the minister is saying, can I start with Honorable Msane, and then followed by Honorable Reverend Mshew, and then we'll then move with the meeting process once you have made your point. Over to you, Honorable Msani.
Idlulile Chair, ngizoyithatha uminister seyaqedile.
Honorable Mshweu.
I'm covered, Chairperson, because I raised my hand when you said you don't know who of the department is going to do the presentation. So I was going to suggest that because the Honorable Minister is with us, she should do that. But you are covered now. Thank you, sir.
Okay. Chairperson, I see that you are now in. Can I please hand over this session to you, Chairperson? To carry on with chairing the meeting. Okay. No, thanks very much, Chairperson. I think then, let us then allow you, Honorable Minister, to formally introduce the acting DG to this portfolio committee.
Thank you very much, Honorable Chairperson. Chairperson, the Acting Director General is the current DDG serving as Head of Consular Services in the branch. And also, she's the Chief of Protocol in South Africa, Ambassador Lossie. So she's the Acting DG and will be leading on the presentation that is linked to the agenda, Chair, that the committee has adopted, and which is based on the letter that the chairperson wrote to me. Thank you very much, Chairperson. I don't know whether I didn't bring her CV, but should you wish, I'll quickly Google, and when you give me an opportunity, I'll give you an overview if that is required. I believe Ambassador Lossie is known to the Portfolio Committee from previous Portfolio Committee interactions. And she's currently serving as one of the DDGs in the department. I thank you, Chip.
No, thanks very much, Honorable Minister. I don't think there will really be a need for you to bring the whole CV. I think this brief introduction, I think, assists us. So now we know who are we dealing with and how does she look like at a formal level of this committee. Honorable Msani, before we hand over to the DGs, we still want to raise an issue. I could see some hands. Let me see Msani and then followed by Honorable Chetty in that order.
Thank you very much, Chairperson. As I had raised a point of privilege in our previous meeting where the acting DG was not present, and I reserved it so that I can be able to table it at this platform where she would be present. Chairperson, I am requesting, and this is apart from other findings that as committee members we discovered at that meeting, which I believe can be made as additions to this point that I want to raise today, Chair. Through you, Chairperson, I would request that the acting DG today at this meeting kindly highlights to this House what is it that us as members of Parliament do in this House and for this country. And also, how does her roles and responsibility interlink with our role and with our duties as Member of Parliament? And also, I would request, Chairperson, through you, that the acting DG apologizes for her unbecoming behavior and her expressions that she voiced about members of parliament, about members of this house, on our telephone conversation that I had with her on the 27th of February 2021. You may ask what was said and how it led to that. I was very disrespected, including all members of parliament, the 400 odd plus members, when I had a conversation with the acting DG requesting assistance for a desperate South African who was stuck in Oman. So, Chairperson, those are my two points, which I would kindly request that the acting DG attend to. Without going any further, if I'm requested to go any further, I will go further, but I find it that we cannot allow the acting DG to address this meeting, Chairperson, unless she clarifies these two points that I'm putting on the table. Thank you, Chair.
Honorable Mshewu.
Aibo.
Megan Chetty, sorry. Honorable Megan Chetty, my apologies. Because those were the two hands.
Yes, well, I got worried. I thought you all of a sudden decided to remove me off the platform. Yeah, Chairperson, and good afternoon to all members on this platform. Chair, in view of what the Honorable Msane has just brought to the fore, I think mine is going to be a bit trivial compared to hers. So hers is of a priority. I also want to hear the explanation from the acting DG. I raised my hand, Chairperson, on the point that at our last meeting, we had to call off our meeting. You're very well aware that that was going to be the first meeting the acting DG was going to be present as well. We were not told about the fact that she was not there. The conduct of both her and her colleague would try to mislead us as to whether she was there, whether she wasn't there, to contact her to come to the meeting, for her to have prioritized which meeting was important. I believe that there should be an apology forthcoming from the acting DG for her conduct or the manner in which what can be best described as her having undermined this committee when we were having a scheduled meeting that she was not present at. And then we as members wasted our day setting time aside for that meeting, which was cancelled. I personally believe, Chairperson, that before she even starts with anything else about introducing this new topic, she owes this committee an apology. Thank you, Chair.
Okay, thanks, honorable members. DG and the minister and the deputy minister, you heard what honorable members are raising. I will allow the DG to respond to what honorable members are raising. But what I want to check, Honorable Msane, your discussion was when she was acting DG or it was before that? Just for my own...
She was acting DG, Chair.
Okay. So you were speaking with her in that capacity?
Yes, Chair.
Okay. Now, Honorable DG, can you address the issues that the members are raising before we then deal with the presentation that you are going to deliver to us?
Thank you very much, Chair. Good evening, honorable members of the committee, and good good evening to the chair of the committee. Thank you for according me the opportunity to brief the committee. At the outset, honorable members, I had intended to apologize unreservedly, and I take full responsibility for not having attended that meeting on that particular day, which clashed with the audit committee meeting, with the audit AG meeting. I take full responsibility. I will not blame anyone. I had asked my office to apologize, but I take full responsibility, and I apologize for having wasted the honorable member's time. I fully apologize. On the issue raised by honorable member, yes, indeed, it was on Friday evening when the honorable member phoned me. She wanted a cell number of our ambassador in Oman, and I had asked her to phone our ops room, and I profusely told her that I didn't have the number. If you may allow me, honorable members, and that I be honest, the honorable member started shouting at me. And I kept on telling her that, honorable member, I do not have the number. May you kindly phone the, what you call the ops room. I do not have the number. And she said the ops room was constantly engaged. I said, yes, they are often, because of this time of the COVID and so forth, repatriation, they are often inundated with calls. She was so angry. And she even threatened to tape me. And I asked her, if she wishes to tape me, she can go ahead and tape me, because what I was telling her was honest. I do not have the number. And that is why we have a 24-hour ops room. I told her that. And if she feels that I really disrespected her, I fully apologized unreservedly. But I remember so vividly that day, as she was shouting me, I was with my sisters, and I even said, this is how we're treated, and it is true. But if she feels that the honorable member was disrespected, I fully, unreservedly apologize. I truly, truly apologize. But this is what happened. You know, she was even saying she would tape the call. I said, it's okay, she can tape the call. But we have an ops room. I truly do not have the number for our ambassador in Oman. And that's what transpired that day. But if the member feels that I have disrespected her, I fully, fully apologize unreservedly. Thank you, Chairperson, Honorable Chair.
Thanks very much, Acting DG. I think the committee will then
Wait, I'm trying my hand, but I don't know how to raise it on this gadget.
Oh, on your, so you are raising a hand, Chairperson, because I don't see it here.
I'm trying to raise it, but I'm
can I hand it over to you? Are you going to carry on then making an input, and you take over as a chair also as well?
I'm not taking over. No, Whip.
Yes, yeah, you can proceed.
I'm perturbed by what the acting DG has just said in this meeting. I don't know, probably. It's a clarity-seeking question, which I'm going to ask from her. She says that she directed Honorable Msane to, I don't know whether it's a toll-free number or what. Can you also rename your gadget, Acting DG? Because I had written there that you rename your gadgets, all of you. That she directed Honorable Msane to a toll-free or whatever. Is this how members of parliament are going to be treated? that when we need information from the department and from the acting DG in particular, we are going to be directed to a toll-free number or whatever, or we are going to be redirected. And I remember when Honorable Mzane called me after that particular interaction and was telling me that you write a letter and complain about the whole matter. So I really need to know from the DG that are we going to be directed to toll-free numbers when we need information in the department. And the level of respect amongst us and the officials, it requires that it be mutual. However, once you get no information, certainly you are bound to be frustrated, and especially when someone has an attitude that is supposed to assist you as a member of parliament. So I think I need that clarity. Thank you very much.
Okay, thanks very much, Chairperson. Can DG respond, acting DG?
Thank you very much, Chair. Not indeed, Madam Chair, Honorable Chair, I don't know how, Madam Chair, but I'll work on it as we go. I'm going to ask for our ICT. I really don't know how, but I'll do it. I've noted.
Okay.
Honorable Church, I see your hand again. Are you wanting to speak? I think we should find a way of wrapping up this matter. I want to make a certain proposal so that we'll then deal with the business of today.
Yeah, so, okay. Back to the follow-up.
Okay.
And you can wrap up and you can give us a way forward after that.
Okay.
But Chairperson, what you must understand, Chairperson, I think it's important that we clear this right now, right, Chair. And Chairperson, all you know the problem we had when we came to this committee and with the manner in which officials were treating members of parliament. Now, during last year, we had this COVID-19 and we're busy with repatriation of South African citizens from abroad. And the former or the suspended DG, and I can put this on record, at 11:30 at night, at 1:00 in the morning, when South African citizens were stranded abroad in countries which time zones were different from ours, he offered the courtesy of answering our call or sending us a message if he's in a meeting. I think it's important, Chairperson, that we clear this right here and right now. Just giving us an undeserved apology is as if to say, oh, well, it's okay. I said, I'm sorry, you can't do nothing about it now. Let's carry on. That's unacceptable, Chairperson. We represent the people of this country. In this committee, we deal with South African citizens who are stranded abroad. And their days and their time differ from ours. And for us as members of parliament to do our job diligently, and make sure we're representing the interests of South Africans. We cannot have the person holding, even though it's an acting position, the highest position in this department, having that type of an attitude. I'm not going to cast aspersions because I was not there to know who was right and who was wrong. But surely, if an honorable member is saying that they were disrespected by the man and what was happening because they wanted assistance, I don't believe the honorable Msane would have called the acting DG because she wanted to go out and have lunch, or she wanted to give her money to the shopping. She must have called her on an item that was dealing of international importance. So I personally do not take very kindly to the fact that the acting DG just washes it away as if to say, okay, I've apologized, I'm sorry, carry on. The second part, Chairperson, once you map the way forward and the DG or the acting DG does the right thing. My next question is to the acting DG. Since he's taken over as the acting DG, and the fact that today he's going to be presenting the report, has any other member or official in her department, apart from the DG who's been suspended, are there any other members or officials that have been suspended in a department surrounding the New York project? Thank you, Splano.
No, thanks very much, honorable members. I think the DG and the minister and the deputy minister who are present here, they hear how the portfolio committee is feeling with the manner in which things have taken place between members and the acting DG. I just want to add another thing, that also the documents came very late, acting DG. This is the matter also that became our problem. And in such a way that in another meeting, we had to cancel that meeting. In the late hours, myself and the chair, we spoke until 1 o'clock in the morning. And eventually then, because the documents were not available, that meeting had to be cancelled. So I think that is the area also that you should really, really look at, because it's important for members to get enough time to look at the documents so that they can interact on an informed basis when they are in a meeting. So I would suggest that in the interest of time, but the DG can respond if she wants to respond. Maybe let me give you the opportunity, DG, when I come up with the proposal that I want to make.
Thank you very much, Honorable Chair. Once more, Honorable Chair and Honorable Members, I apologize for what has happened, and I reassure the committee that I am ready to serve the committee and serve the department. Once again, honorable members, it was not out of disrespect. I want to reassure the committee members that I am willing to serve the committee and the department, and I profusely apologize. Thank you, honorable chair.
Okay. No, thanks very much, acting DG. The proposal that I want to make, if the committee will accept, is that... who is that one? Oh.
Msane.
Okay, let me give you the last chance now, and then we move forward, okay?
Before you make your proposal, which I know it's a guide, and it will assist us to move forward, the question was very clear, Chairperson. I had two questions and they were very clear, and also the question which the acting DG highlights now, that she gave me a toll-free number or whatever number that was. And the question that arises from this whole matter is that how we are going to be treated moving forward? Because we deal with a lot of issues of South Africans who are stranded abroad as this committee. And our role and responsibility, which is why I requested to know, does the acting DG understand what is our role and responsibility as members of parliament? And how does her roles and responsibility interlink into what we are here to do? The whole frustration of being given a toll-free number on a Friday and someone entertaining her friend or her sister, like she says now, and raises her voice and says, this is how we are treated as by members of your parliament. I want to know, Chairperson, is this how we are going to be treated moving forward, because we are not sitting in this parliament representing ourselves. And I find it very disturbing for the acting DG to just come and brush off this matter with an apology that does not even, it's not even worth the mic that she's speaking on. So Chairperson, when you're about to wrap up and give us a way forward, I will request, Chairperson, that the two roles and responsibilities of us as members of parliament and her as the acting DG and what we are meant to do in this house gets outlined and outlined very clearly, because we cannot be frustrated, Chairperson, by an acting DG when we are used to a working method which was working very fine on how we assist South Africans abroad, and our name as a country is put in jeopardy wherever these people are. And I can tell you now, the matter is still not resolved to date, Chairperson, and I don't know if the person is alive or dead today. And my role was to make sure that this person is rescued from that situation that they were in. So Chairperson, when you give a way forward, please, I request that our roles and responsibilities and how this acting DG must fill in her gap here is very clear. Thank you very much.
Thanks very much, honorable members and the acting DG. Of course, this is a rough start between us, but I think it will have to be dealt with, and that it never happens again. So the proposal that I want to make is that the acting DG put the apologies that he has put before the committee in writing, and actually and directed to the office of the chairperson, so that the chairperson will then, in the next meeting, take us through in terms of that written apology to the committee. And in that letter, as he has assured us that this is happening for the first time and the last time, we need also to have that assurance, and all the issues that Mr. Honorable Nsan is raising outlining how she relates to us should also be covered in that formal letter. The second proposal is that minister, because we are here with us, and the deputy minister, we will request you to deal with this matter with the DG, and then have a talk amongst yourself as to how the DG should relate to the committee and also treat the committee. As the chair is saying, the respect is mutual. If she respects us as a committee, we'll respect her back. But if she doesn't, then she can't expect her respect, any respect from us as well. So I'm also leaving that to the minister and the deputy minister to cancel the DG, and also coach her as to how she should interact with the committee going forward. And as for the matter that Honorable Msani was raising, which is still not resolved, I would request the minister, together with your colleague, Deputy Minister Portes, to ensure that that matter is followed up and it's resolved. And going forward, Acting DG, please, I want to appeal to you. This should not happen again. And if any member of the portfolio committee is phoning you, please, if you can't assist me because of whatever circumstances, please refer the member to the most senior official, maybe who's have authority to assist with a particular issue that the member is raising. rather than refer members of Potolo committees to toll free. It's really, really not on. But honourable members, I think we can't then deal with this matter and conclude it now. We will get a report from the chair in our next portfolio committee, and the minister also. We will really want to get a progress report as to how these issues have been dealt with at the departmental level and with you as the political head of the department or the ministry. So, honourable members, if members then can then allow us to then proceed with the presentation from the acting DG. Now we have almost dealt with this issue almost for 45 minutes. So I know it's really, really an issue that was bothering the members, and really we don't want to start like this. But I think what you must understand, acting DG, even the minister will tell you, we are a very, very open and frank a portfolio committee. We don't sugarcoat things and become artificial. We deal with issues as they are, so that we'll move forward and then deal with other issues, which are the core business of both the department and the portfolio committee. So, without that, those words and those proposals, if members don't have a problem, can I then request that we allow the acting DG then to give us a presentation, unless there is a member who's vehemently opposed to the way forward and maybe would want to suggest something different. Honourable members? So, silence means that we agree, and then we'll wait the next meeting and then get those progress reports and the written apology, which also cover all the issues that members have raised. Acting DG, then can you then take the platform and then do the presentation for the portfolio committee?
Thank you very much, Chairperson. Honourable Chairperson, Honourable Minister, Honourable Members of the Portfolio Committee, the Department is honoured to brief you today and report on the progress made to relocate the permanent missions to the United Nations and the Consulate General in New York to alternative premises. The scope, I was hoping that they'll flight the presentation, Honourable Chair.
Yes, it will assist it very much. Also in line with the fact that we have received documentation very late. So it will assist if at least it's flighted.
Thank you very much, Chair.
Okay, you can proceed now.
Thank you very much, Chair. At the outset, Chair, the Department would like to acknowledge and appreciate the committee's oversight visit and subsequent report on our missions in New York, which took place in December. The scope has been flighted, Chair. The presentation will have already covered the background. The presentation will also cover the market research, the suitability of the preferred property, approval processes that we took within the department, contract negotiations, current status, and the next step that the department intends to take. Once more, Honourable Chair, the committee's views on the current accommodation and the urgent need for relocation has indeed given impetus to the matter, and the department is hard at work to realize the objective of relocating the missions in New York to a inclusive, decent, safe, and affordable accommodation. Can you move to the next slide, ma'am? Madam CIO? Yes, thank you. Furthermore, Honorable Chair, the Department is pleased to get this opportunity to report to the committee on the progress achieved to date and the steps it will take in finalizing this important and long outstanding matter. The Mission Chair entered into a lease agreement for the Chancery in a property situated at the 333 East 38th Street from April 1990 until April 2004. For the first 10 years of the lease, the rental was fixed. On 1st May 2004, the monthly rental escalated and remained fixed at this level until 30 April 2014 when the lease was terminated. The contract which was signed with SL Green, who sold the building to New York University Langone in 2013, and the new owners bought the property with the exclusive aim of converting it into a medical facility. In view of the above, Chair, the new owner did not wish to renew the lease at its termination in April 2014. And the lease agreement did, however, allow for a continued occupation on a holdover basis, which was agreed to by the owner. Currently, Chair, the South African Mission is the only non-medical tenant as the building has been turned into a hospital. Chair, the committee's oversight visit and the subsequent COVID-19 situation compelled the department to initiate urgent steps to relocate the mission. The mission, Chair, conducted 3 real estate agencies on its database and viewed available office accommodation in close proximity to the United Nations, and this happened in July 2020. And these 3 properties, they are flighted on the slide, Chair. The first property was on 845 Third Avenue, which is partially fit out, limited fit out required. And the second one is 205 East 42nd Street. And the third one is 220 East 42nd Street. And move to the next slide. Chair, a joint committee was established in line with the prescripts supply chain procurement prescripts within the department and the government. A joint committee was established between the permanent mission to the UN and the consulate, including partner departments who are part of our mission in New York to consider the options. The mission recommended the property situated at 845 Third Avenue as the most suitable, representative, safe, and move-in ready building. The building, Chair, is also in close proximity to the United Nations Grand Central Station and is centrally located. The 2 other buildings were not move-in ready. The floor space needed a complete fit-out, and as they are just a bare shell. The recommended property, Chair, will be subleased from the British Consulate for a fixed term until February 2025. Chair, the mission intend renting 2 floors, namely from the 9th floor and the 10th floor. And the 2 floors will not be shared with any other party as the British vacated these floors in 2019. The space will thus be for the sole and express use of the chancery. The building is already fitted, Chair, is already fitted out with consular and diplomatic facilities, including waiting rooms, booths for visa applications, interviews, etc. The building chair also has adequate office space for both missions to accommodate all requirements of the chancellery. As earlier stated, Chair, the mission's request to relocate was considered as per the prevailing delegation of authority and approved by the Director General in September 2020. The approval, Chair, was subject to the following: the conversion of the offered document into a legal contract, OXLA, which is our legal unit, to advise on the desirability of a sublease as well as the terms of the contract. The mission was to submit the actual relocation cost rather than estimated cost, and the head office, special security and ICT, was to engage with the mission regarding security and ICT requirement for the layout of the two floors. In early November, Chair, 2020, the department received comments from Pata Department mainly related to the sublease, specifically concerning related to the ability of the landlord, being the British government, to have access to the floors for inspection and maintenance, the need for the landlord to be informed of structural changes to the property and possible implications for South Africa's sovereignty where the mission is accommodated in another mission. These concerns, Chair, were addressed by means of renegotiating the sublease agreement and the landlord access and termination rights. These were included in the contract. And this process was, the mission was also guided by our legal. The contract negotiations, Chair, commenced in September 2020, and the final agreed text was received on 6 March 2021. In terms of the final text, the landlord will not have access to the floors without the express permission of the tenant. The mission also secured its right to termination in the event of breach of contract. The mission does not intend making any structural changes to the property and will occupy the space fully. As such, the partner department's concerns have been addressed. And our legal team has also expressed that they are okay with the contract. Where we are now, Chair, Honorable Chair, the matter was referred to National Treasury to confirm whether a sublease complies with the PFMA and to give guidance on how the department should proceed. The matter is currently with the Office of the Chief Procurement Officer at National Treasury, as we would not want to enter into any contract without the authorization from Treasury. The partner department will be engaged again to ensure proper security arrangement as the new premises are adhered to and are implemented. The mission is currently updating its project plan to reflect the time needed for ICT cabling, procurement of some furniture, and actual relocation. The final time frame for the relocation is set to be by end of June 2021. However, this is dependent on a response from National Treasury, Partner Department security requirements, and timing for ICT connectivity. Hence, we've given this this project that it should be at least be finalized by end of the first quarter of 2021-2022 financial year. In terms of the lease agreement, Chair, the mission will receive a 6-month rent-free period, and this is the money the rental saved over this period will be applied towards the funds needed for the relocation activities. Chair, the next slide. The next slide is that the location and the address for the building and where it is located. Maybe if you could move to the actual offices. This is just the layout of the floors, some of the floors of the mission. The next. Can you go to the next slide? Thank you, Chair. I submit and thank you.
Honorable members, that's the presentation from the acting DG. Can I now attend? Honorable members, are you sleeping? At the present.
If I could assist, there are three hands, Chair.
I want all of them to raise their hands. They want to do one one.
Sorry, Chair. Sorry, Chair.
I want to know you.
Chair.
It's okay, Mr.
Chair, can I ask for your indulgence?
Yes.
Yes,
yes,
Chair. I think, Chair, you can proceed. The matter that I discussed with you, it's my secretary who just mixed things up and say I'm needed in another meeting when she is talking about another portfolio committee that is or study group that is servicing. So I'm here, Chair, but you can proceed.
Honorable members, yeah, I see here Honorable Bachman, Kosi, Katie. So the rest of the members don't want to speak on this item, okay? You are covered in that order.
Chair, thanks very much. I see the acting DG's learned very quickly. We're already starting with our tricks, and in the blocks now, there's only three blocks showing us where the property is, showing us the size of the property and selling the property to us. But it's very hard to see the price of the property or the cost of the properties of the three properties in perspective. And I think when one is looking at the decisions, it's good and useful to actually have the costs of the properties. Something else that is of late becoming more and more evident is that when our diplomats leave their properties, when our diplomats leave our properties, there's a new trend for them to leave our trademark there, a signature trademark, which is costing South Africa quite a lot of money. And that's in the form of not just getting our deposit back, but having to pay damages. There's even an alleged one now in Austria, where this is now 40,000 euros that's being cost to Durko. Now, I'm wondering whether this is not an opportune time for us as a committee to look into the possibility of making an addition to the Foreign Services Bill to possibly build into it that when we sign such leases, that there's a clause that diplomats that take responsibility for rental properties would also take responsibility that if the deposit is not paid back, for whatever reason, being damages or the like, that they would be responsible personally for those damages and that they would pay back the money themselves. Thank you very much.
Gozi?
Thanks, Chair, and I welcome the comprehensive report on moving. I just have a few questions and one comment. I will start with a comment. My comment is that I'm happy that in the contract negotiations, at least when we have an opt-out clause that enables us to cancel the contract should we find that there is breach on the side of the lessor or the landlord. But my question is this still temporary accommodation until we find alternative accommodation for the mission as planned in the pilot project? Two, is the department doing this on its own or is there somebody, a professional assisting it to identify the property and advise on the transaction itself in line with the market in that area? The other one is the budget for the lease and for how long and is it sustainable? And I think Honorable Bergman touched on this issue, is the size versus the cost comparable? I know the size is a little bit bigger, but is the cost in line with the size? And on the issue that the property is ready for occupation, it may mean a lot of things. It may mean that, look, we are the building is properly partitioned, there's furniture, etc. But is it fit for purpose for the operations of the mission as it stands or with any future improvements? So that we know that there's not going to be escalation later to say, look, we had to partition, we had to make offices fit for our own operations. Thanks, Chair.
Chetty? Honorable Chetty?
Thank you, Chair. I was just unmuting myself. Yeah, Chair, let me just start off firstly by saying I love how when there are certain circumstances that happen, we become very creative and use the circumstances as being the reason or the tool as to why we need to do something. Chair, I want to apologize in advance. The presentation that was just slighted, I tried looking through my records, and there were quite a few that we received from Mr. Lubabalu, but I couldn't find that one. So I'm not sure whether it's in one of the emails he sent through from yesterday. But just to make reference here, the acting DG said that part of the reason for the urgency in the relocation was due to the fact that the current building was housing the medical center, and now one of the busiest COVID-19 stations. Chair, you and I and other members were on the oversight. And this was prior to COVID-19. And as a committee, before COVID-19, we had already made the comment that the building was not suitable to be housing our embassies or our missions. It did not bode well for South Africa's image to be housed in a hospital. So I just want to put that out there, Chair, because you see, already we're having an issue where the fancy footwork is happening. That because of COVID-19, now we have to move, and because we have to move, we have to pay whatever we have to pay, and that's when certain tender processes and everything else becomes warped. Because we use the issue of COVID-19. COVID-19 is like a cash cow. So I just want to make it very clear. Prior to COVID-19, the committee had already established the fact that this business, that the building was unsuitable to house our embassies. So let's make that clear. The fact that the department dragged its feet from 2004 up until 2021 makes me wonder, had it not been COVID-19, would they even try to move, or would they still stay there and pay the exorbitant rent? Secondly, Chairperson, I'd like to know, how much is the rental that we've now agreed for the new property? It is important that we get that. My next question, Chairperson, and if it's possible, if they can slide the slide on the presentation, would identify the three buildings, if it's possible, Chairperson.
What do you want to know, Teddy?
Yeah, Chair, I just thought it was possible for them to slide the presentation where the three buildings that they had identified was listed.
Okay.
Is it possible?
It should be.
Thank you. Now, you see, Chairperson, this is where my problem is. The committee did the oversight, and I raised this when we had a discussion with the minister the last time. 845 3rd Avenue, 205 East 42 2nd Street, and 220 East 42nd Street. Now, Chair, during the remarks by the acting DG, they appreciated the efforts by the oversight committee and the work that we did when we went abroad. And that, in turn, also, augmented the case for them to want to move premises. So on one hand, you appreciate the fact that we went, we did the oversight, and we brought back the report to tell you it has to be done. But then what baffles my brain is, Chairperson, you will recall, again, together with the other members on the oversight, the first building we went and saw was a rundown, burnt, dilapidated, abandoned building, which is not mentioned on this. The second one that we visited was 885 2nd Avenue. And the third one was 605 3rd Avenue. Now, I'm having a problem here. So the ones that we had viewed and put into our report that we had spoken about, the very report that this presentation makes reference to, doesn't seem to gel. Did the committee, or did the acting DG and her team, consider the inputs from the report that the committee had submitted? Can the acting DG tell me when were these three properties that she has listed on her presentation emerged? When was it sourced? And what had happened to the other properties which we, as an oversight committee, were tasked to go and visit? Because, Chairperson, you as well as other members will recall, and as members we will not mislead the committee, the one building that we saw already housed other embassies for safety purposes, which is one of the issues that I recall was raised, included by the minister, that we must consider the issues of safety because it's housing the embassy. So this building housed three other embassies, was fully put and ready for us to walk in, similar to the 845 one. And the one which at that time was preferred was the bare shell. And at that point in time, we received the quotations for those buildings.
and the rental. So I would appreciate for the acting DG to please inform me, had they done the feasibility study and the inspection on the ones or the buildings that we as the oversight committee were led to go and see? And the second part will be around the rental. How much is this costing us for the one that she's proposing vis-a-vis the ones that we were already offered whilst we were there? Thank you, Chair.
Honorable Mfanj.
Thank you, Chair. My points were going exactly to what Honorable Chetty has just highlighted. I wanted to also find out, Chairperson, because when we did the oversight, we got to see three buildings, and the committee also highlighted and gave advice, if you can say, which building would then be occupied or be proposed for occupation. However, when we are currently going through this report that has been presented, none of those are highlighted. Secondly, Chairperson, if I heard the acting DG correctly, is that the whole process now that the department has engaged on did include the state law advisor, which I would like us as this committee to note that the process also included the state law advisor, which we have found out in our previous meetings, Chairperson, that this department has always overlooked or least informed or allowed the state law advisor to be part of decisions or to advise the department on matters of importance. So, and Chairperson, my question also, in addition to that, would go to the moving in is in condition to ICT, if I heard correctly in the presentation, which is, I would also like to go back to what the previous chair was saying, that it disadvantages us as committee members to get reports late, because it becomes like we are in a rally and we cannot interrogate reports and make reference of what we have witnessed or what we have recommended or what we have seen. But however the case may be, the procurement of the ICT, as highlighted by the acting DG, is it an internal company that will do the ICT in this building, or has the department procured someone new, and were the processes and procedures followed if it's someone new? And also, Chairperson, was the Department of the Department's Infrastructure Committee now involved in this current new space, which even this committee never got to witness? And how did they get to this new allocation offices that the acting DG is mentioning? And then also, Chair, how much are we renting for? Are we renting? Because as we read the recommendations and the findings of our oversight report, it was that for the pilot project to take place, the department had decided to follow a different process of housing our missions. Has that changed or it's still the same? Thank you, Chair.
Honorable members, I see no other hands from the from the honorable members. Honorable members, before we allow the department to respond on the matter, when we were in New York, we saw a proper building and a parking lot. And a parking lot was not a building, it was just a parking lot. And I don't understand why do we have shelves even to date on the presentation by the department. It really confuses when we have shelves. And in your presentation, you state that the committee's oversight visits and subsequent COVID situation compelled the department to initiate urgent steps to relocate the mission. How so? What about the two properties which I've just mentioned? One, the parking lot, like of a horror movie, and the other, which was more suitable and preferred by the missions that we visit, with the mission that we visited while on oversight visit, which you did not continue with. Were you not compelled at that time to do the same thing? I need an explanation on that. We might brush off the issue of the late submission of the presentations to the portfolio committee, and it is now becoming a norm lately. And I don't know whether the late submission of the presentation to the committee was intentional and intended to deliberately disarm the committee to thoroughly engage on the matter. But I want to say here, Minister, that in our next meetings with the department, we need to get the presentation a day before the portfolio committee. Last time we had to cancel because we did not get the report. We got the report and the presentation at 12 midnight and we had canceled the meeting. We can't go on and continue like that. It's not going to work for us because some of us, we like reading and prepare for the meetings of Parliament so that we are not found wanting. Now, what I want to understand is that the mission has been ready to move out of that building since we were there. And I believe they are still ready even now. Why do you want them to move in June, July? Not now. And what are the legal opinions around this matter? It's important that the Chief Law State Advisor is involved, because last time we were told that they were not involved. Now we want to know which is the preferred building by the mission amongst the buildings which you have presented to us here today. We want to know which one is the preferred building by the mission, because I think they are better placed to advise the department as to which building is suitable, because they are sitting in Pretoria and they are sitting in New York. You wouldn't know for sure which building is the best suitable for them. Now, the lease is for 5 years. What are the plans for an alternative permanent office? Mr. Hendricks, can you mute your mic, please? You are disturbing the meeting, and you always do this. Not on. Thank you. What are the plans for an alternative permanent office? Because as a portfolio committee, we've been consistent that we need to acquire our own as opposed to renting, because renting is very costly for the department. We need to move from the renting, because renting has proven to be not viable for the department and the mission. And lastly, what happened to the buildings which were identified and we saw in New York? Because the buildings that you are presenting here today are new buildings, as opposed to the ones that we visited and saw in New York. If there's no other hand from honorable members, I will therefore allow the department to respond on what we have raised. Honorable Chetty, Honorable Nkosi, please hold up your hands because you have spoken already. Thank you.
Sorry, there's a new hand.
There's no new hand. You have asked your question and the department has not responded on that question you asked earlier on. Lower your hands. We'll give you a second bite, please. Over to the department. And mute your mic.
Thank you very much, Honorable Chairperson. To respond to Honorable Bergman, indeed, we have discussed the accommodation policy in the department, having seen what happened in Vienna, and we have been by our executive instructed to review the accommodation policy for our transferred officials and ensure that, like you have alluded to, Honorable Bergman, that officials take responsibility of the properties that they are rented. So this is what we are looking at in the department, Honorable Bergman. Then you asked a question which was also raised by Honorable Nkosi, whether this time are the buildings the market value. You also asked the budget, is the building fit for purpose, or will there be any alterations to the property? And also Honorable Nkosi asked whether how long is the lease for, how long will we lease the building. The contract, honorable members, will be until 2025, but there's an escape clause, like we said, that we have negotiated within the contract. The mission, in fact, through our legal team, have negotiated the contract in such that there's an escape clause when a need arises. On the who advised the mission on the accommodation, and the honorable chair raised this issue as well. The mission itself, because they're in New York, honorable members, they contacted three real estate agencies from the mission supply database. And they were, according to the report they've given us, they have had an opportunity to view 12 buildings. And these three buildings, Honorable Chair, were, these three buildings were shortlisted. And indeed, the one that the Honorable Chair, the mission has proposed, has recommended, is fit for purpose, and it is at a market value and even cheaper than the other buildings, the two other buildings, the square meters, because the mission looked at the property, looked at the size, and looked at the fit out and the rate per square meter, and they were advised by the, they went with the estate agent. On whether is the budget, yes, the cost is within the current allocation budget, and the building is fit for purpose as it was previously used for the same purpose that the department is going to use, and we will not. There was another question whether the committee won't then hear of escalated fees because we would say we had to alter and so forth. No. It's also in the contract that we will not make any changes to the structure. So this is the contract that was negotiated, that indeed we will not make any changes to the structure. Honorable Chetty, yes indeed, honorable member, you are correct. The building was not suitable for the staff to work in. Indeed, you're very correct, the hospital. And maybe the reference to COVID was that then with the COVID and the hospital, it then that's when the agency came in. So not necessarily because it was because of COVID, but because it's the hospital and it posed a risk. And this is exactly, I do agree, honorable members, this is exactly what was pointed out by the committee when they visited New York. Honorable Nsane, the mission did a fresh start in the search for accommodation following the procurement processes. ICT is mainly to assess the needs, you know, of the mission, which will determine if the department needs a private company or it can be done internally by our ICT. Usually sometimes when the missions are relocating and if it's a minor project, we would sometimes send our own members to assist. On the ICT, the CIO has also confirmed that they are busy with the approval processes. We had advertised, honorable members, and they are busy with the processes which we would want to finalize as soon as possible. So there are procurement processes in place. The reason there was a question that why, from the honorable chair, why not now? Honorable chair, we would not want to take shortcuts, but we understand the agency and we really, really understand the agency. But we are consulting with the Treasury so that we don't miss any step. And the move is planned for June based on the National Treasury's response, ICT and security. ICT is to make sure that the mission has all the necessary needs and security, then that assessment will be coming from our firm. It is the mission, honorable members, that proposed and recommended this building. Why and would we in the future purchase? Yes, indeed. Permanent accommodation is exactly what the Honorable Chairperson has alluded to, is what the department would like to consider. And we need we are going to be speaking to the Treasury to ensure that we follow the correct process and we with the availability of the budget, Honorable Chair. Yeah, I hope I've managed to answer most of the questions, honorable members. Thank you.
Chairperson, would you allow me on one of the questions, please?
I will.
Am I breaking a rule? My apologies if I am.
Minister, you are allowed.
Thank you for your kindness, Chairperson, and the indulgence. I wanted to just go back to the question that had been posed.
Honourable Minister.
I wanted to go back, Chair, to the question that was posed by Honourable Msani, and indeed yourself. You referred to it as well. Office of the Chief State Law Advisor on International Relations has been fully involved, as I understand it, from the report I received from the acting DG on this lease process, and has in fact given advice with respect to the content of the lease and any amendments that were made following the discussions with the mission. Thank you very much, Honourable Chairperson.
Thank you so much, Minister. Honourable Chetty, Honourable Msane, Honourable Swartz. The question which is not answered by the department, acting DG, is a question which says, why was the relocation not done in 2014 when the lease expired? That question is not answered by the presentation, and I think we really need to get the answer on that. I am happy to hear that the building which you have shown us is a building which is recommended by the mission. However, we must still know what happened to the other buildings which we viewed and saw when we were in New York, which were also, one of them was a preferred building by the mission, and we thought that building was decent enough to be our mission in that particular land, which is called New York. And I'm going to note Honorable Swartz, Honorable Chetty, I see your hand is up. Honorable Msane, also I see your hand is up, in that order.
Yeah.
Aibu. Swartz.
Thank you, Honorable Chair, and good evening to the ministers and all other honorable members and officials. Chair, I first start want to comment on what you earlier commented on in terms of the manner in which we get presentations, because it would make us to feel as if the department in a way tries and disarms us, because we get presentations very late and it makes it quite difficult for us to fully engage. But mine is to ask, Chair, what are the processes that the department is going through to acquire a property for rental purpose? And also, what kind of procurement process is being undertaken by the mission or head office with respect to the earlier or current relocation exercise, how has the mission branch or head office played their role in this respect? Thank you, Chair.
Honorable Teti.
Yeah, thanks, Chair. Chair, I'm not sure whether my mic must have been on mute when I was talking, because whatever I asked of the acting DG, nothing was answered, and nor did she make reference to any of the questions I asked. So let me just tell you this much. I asked about when this was negotiated, but it's okay. Let me give her the answer. This negotiation started in September 2020. And on the 6th of March 2021, they received a text to say it's confirmed. So in 7 months' time, they managed to start the process to look for the building, identify the building, and get the confirmation in 7 months. I find it very strange, again, that they had a lease for 10 years where the lease rental was fixed at the existing building. And thereafter, it was increased up until May 2004. That went up until April 2014. From April 2014 up until today, we are paying an exorbitant amount over and above what the lease agreement was. Now, during all of these times, the very same department couldn't find and move fast enough to relocate the mission to a new premises, although these premises had been identified all the time. All of a sudden, magically, in 7 months' time, they've managed to do this. Now, some people can say we've been difficult instead of being happy that they are moving. We still want to criticize the fact. But yeah, this is where the problem lies. If the urgency was there to move, why was the buildings that were already identified when the oversight visit was done, why were those buildings not considered? So let me tell you this much. The last time we spoke and the minister said she is not into real estate and she wouldn't know what the rentals were. So today we get the presentation which tells us it's $42 a square meter. Chairperson, the two buildings that we had seen was $31 a square meter and $37 a square meter. So you do the math as well. That's why the question I even asked was, how much are we paying rent? What are we going to be paying at the new place? What will we be paying in the old place? And what would have been the cost had we taken the option that we as a committee had overseen visited? The other issue I have, Chairperson, is that this New York pilot project has been a thorn in our side from the day we got to this committee. And I find it very strange that the department were already in negotiation as of September, and there was no report or some kind of feedback presented to us as a committee when we were meeting. Nothing, nada. Surely somewhere, somehow, the fact that the oversight report is what made reference earlier on in the presentation. So you're speaking to our report, but you don't think it is at the very least, and I used the term when the minister was there when she suspended the DG, a courtesy to the very people that go out into the work to inform us. And maybe at that time, neither you, Chair, or the other three members and myself who were on the oversight would have been shocked to look at the new addresses that are presented to us, which is foreign to us. The other issue, Chairperson, is this. Have we not learned anything? We took a rental of a building for 10 years. Somebody else bought it. It became a hospital. They increased the rental. We had no option but to pay it for the last 10 years. We're now going into the same deal. Why do we want to sublease out of the British consulate? Why are we not going in on our own? Now, Chair, I understand that currently the British consulate has got that
had leased. Who says that we have to go and take it over from them? Surely there are other properties, like the ones we went and viewed, that were available. And Chair, again, you know, when the minister, when I was asking the minister, her response to me was that her job is not to go out and look for the properties. I agree. But then there are those of us in Parliament who come here to play our oversight role, which is what you, myself, and this committee does every single time we come to these meetings. Now, Chair, I ask you this question. If the department went and viewed 12 sites, and of the 12 sites, the best they could identify, and according to them, and in their words, let me not put words in their mouth, 12 properties were viewed and 3 properties were shortlisted for consideration as they met the criteria of affordability, security, accessibility, and space. And of the 3 that they have decided on, only 1 was partially put out, limited fit out required, while the other 2 were the best shells. Now, common sense will tell you, if I am looking for offices, and if you give me 12 options, surely there should be more than 1 option that's fully kitted, that's ready to use. This is New York, Chairperson. We were there. We saw the number of 2 left signs out on the windows, that there were shops and office space available. It's not like there are no offices to let. There's an abundance of it. Now, my question is, again, you recall, Chair, we said that the previous committee may have, for the want of a better word, faltered in not going out and having a look at what was being purchased or what has been identified. When we went out there, we saw what it was. And in the words of the minister, we have nothing to show for the 180 million wasted. But here, if you went and looked at 12 sites, surely 2 or 3 of them should be fully fitted or partially fitted, ready for use. But if you're going to come and tell me, you're going to give me 3 sites, 1 is fully fitted, and the other 2 is a bare shell. Obviously, you're going to go for the one that's fully fitted, because now you've got time constraints. I'm going to use a very simple, silly analogy, Chairperson, or a comparison. If you want to win a car race, and the guy offers you, do you want to drive a Ferrari? Or do you want to drive
a Maserati?
No, Chair. I'm on the floor, Chair. Please, Chair. Don't break my train of thought. So, you want to drive the Ferrari? Or you want to drive the Toyota? Or you want to drive the Fiat? Surely you're going to go and take the Ferrari. But, if you had to put the Ferrari, the Lamborghini, and the Maserati, that makes a difference. And I'm sick and tired, Chairperson, because this is not the first time the department has done this. They do not present us with apples. They'll come and present us with apples. Then they'll give us orange juice. And then they'll give us a toaster sandwich. 3 different things. We need to compare apples with apples. They must come back and tell us, after 12, were there any other buildings that were ready, fit for purpose, as we saw, or as the first one they have yet? And also tell us, what happened to the other sites that we identified? Because if they could move with such urgency now to go into this one, my question is, Chair, after 5 years, if we can't go nowhere else, if somebody else buys this building and takes over the lease and tell us they don't want to renew the lease because they want to turn this new building into another hospital,
and the Rimas going to spend another $20,000 or $30,000 extra a month. Are we going to do that? I think somewhere, somehow, there's very poor, if in fact any, planning forward on this. The department should have learned what happened the last time. I honestly believe that had this come to the department, to the committee for input, we would have suggested to them, why do you want to take the lease of someone else's when we can enter our own lease with the options of extending as and how we need while we control the lease? I think, Chair, as I said in my opening debate, there is definitely something rotten in the state of New York. This deal, I'm not casting aspersions, but I can tell you, this deal, we are going to have a problem in time to come. And the department is not being honest with us. They must tell us. Or else, if they want, we can go out and we can go and look and procure property less than $42 a square meter, accommodation that will be suitable for the department. And we won't even charge them a commission for that. Thank you, Chair.
Honorable Sun.
Thank you very much, Chairperson. My follow-up is, can we get the name of the state agency that the department said they've used? And then secondly, Chair, I asked a question because the model that the department opted for, which was said to be the New York project, will be a pilot project for this model of private-public partnership, which would be basically a mix of housing, mixed model of rental and ownership in order to reduce costs. Has it been abandoned by this department? Because in 2015, the then portfolio committee was delegated, it delegated the department to find a suitable model on how do they wish to accommodate our missions and our accommodations abroad. And the department itself in 2017 came up with this PPP. So since the New York project has failed, which was supposed to be the pilot project, can we get from the department that we are then abandoning the strategy which they themselves brought forward to the committee that was in charge then? And then, Chairperson, if I heard the response from the acting DG correctly, which says that they have procured a new ICT company. My question, if her answer was that they've procured a new, or they are in a process of procuring a new ICT company, why is that so? Because as this committee, we believe that the department is currently under a total overhaul of an ICT. And Chairperson, if I can take us back to our minutes of the 18th of March in 2020, we were informed that an ICT task team has been established in order to make sure that the department gets an overhaul. So why are we then procuring external contracts, new contracts, in order to deal with our ICT? Because the ICT that we are in belief that is happening at the department is to link all the missions to the hub, which is the headquarters in Pretoria. So where does this new ICT company fit in? And then, Chairperson, I want to say thank you to the Minister that she is confirming that she received a report that the state law advisor is involved in the process. Just as a friendly advice through you, Chair, let's hope that the minister has really gone through that report that this the state law advisor is involved and she's satisfied herself, because we do not want comebacks to say that the state law advisor was sidelined again in this process. Thank you very much, Chair.
Thank you, Honorable Msane. Honorable Swar.
Thank you very much, Honorable Chair. Chair, mine is that on ICT, they can bring somebody from home to do the work unless they have no specialist in the department. And they are going to again and again delay, Chair, and they will come up with something soon to block the move from the hospital. As we speak, it's dangerous, Chair, because the hospital is for COVID cases. So I am saying, Chair, that this mission must move by month end. We cannot, Chair, any longer or any more prolong this whole process. It has been long overdue, and it is becoming dangerous for our people out there, Chair. And what I'm saying, Chair, is that by the end of this month, this mission must have moved, Chair. They must move. All these stories, Chair, are too long. And the stories being long, we're just finding ourselves in a process that is monotonous, because it's going around the circle, unending. And Chair, I also want to agree with Honorable Msane on the ICT, because I think that is something else. From the last physical meeting that we had last year in the premises of Parliament, is that we were given a presentation that assured us that there was a task team and it was implementing, and it was near 2 weeks to the implementation. So now, if we are now being told of company this, company that, when we have not even been given an ICT update report. So in conclusion, Chair, maybe we should be given a separate presentation on ICT itself as to where the department is with the processes, because there was one process of equipment, then there was going to be a process of the very one that was going to link all missions to head office, which is the one that Honorable Msane is mentioning. But now, with what they are mentioning now, I'm a bit lost somewhere around the ICT. But my Chair is to say, by month end, the mission must have moved. Thank you, Chair.
Are you done, Honorable Swart?
Yes, I am, Chair. Thank you, Chair.
Over to you, Department. Ambassador Dosi, can you respond?
Sorry, I didn't see that. I didn't unmute. Sorry, Chair. The first question came from Honorable Swart, which wanted us to detail what the procurement processes for rental are, or which were followed. Honorable Member, the mission identified the properties within the necessary norms using the local estate agents. And then a mission housing committee that makes the recommendations to the and shortlisted the three properties that we allotted to. The branch, because there was also a question what the branch's input in this. The branch therefore made the recommendations and confirmed that indeed there were funds in the current financial year. And in doing so, then we, this matter was referred to OXLA, which is our legal department, especially on the contract and the advice and everything. And indeed, OXLA gave its opinion, and then we had to get the approval as the delegations of authority. And this is where we are. And after that, the mission will then have to sign the contract when every approval has been made, and then there will be a handover inspection which will be done, and the indemnity document will be signed. In a nutshell, that is the process that is followed, and we had ensured that this process is followed. Now, as we alluded to, we are, for that delegation of authority, we are engaging a treasury. Then the next was, maybe I should also just say, so that I deal with Honorable Swart's comments, we welcome, would be honored, Honorable Member, to present the ICT report on the overhaul of the department, because indeed a lot has been done. We'll be honored to do that, so that we keep the honorable members abreast at all given time. And then Honorable Chetty asked how much are we paying now, and wanted to know per square meter, and is there value for money. As of now, Honorable Chetty, we are currently paying $62 per square meter, and which translates to 266,000 per month. In the building that is identified, or honorable members, we will be paying, yes indeed, less than $40 per square meter. We'll be paying $37 per square meter, which translates to $159,848,000. And then we move to honorable or the other question from Honorable Chetty was, were there any other buildings that were fit for purpose? Yes, the mission told us, and how many buildings they viewed. The mission told us that they viewed 12 buildings. This is the report we received from the mission, and the three were shortlisted. Honorable Msane requested us to provide the names of the real estate that were used. Honorable Member, the names of the three real estate agents that were contacted were Roth Law Firm, which also deals with real estate, and two viewings were done from them. And then there was Cushman and Wakefield, and serving the mission, and Attentive, and three viewings were done from that. And then the Joint Committee, Honorable Members, should list those three and recommended the 845 building. I think I've tried to respond. Or have we abandoned the Triple P project? Have we abandoned what? Would we still want to proceed in? Yes, the department's wish is to procure a permanent accommodation for the mission. I don't think we have abandoned the project, but this is dependent on the available funds from the treasury. We have not at all abandoned the project, honorable members. Thank you very much.
Honorable members, I see the hand of Honorable Potter. The platform is yours.
Thank you very much, Chairperson. And also, let me acknowledge the PC members and the minister. Chair, I think what the PC have actually highlighted today is probably a need for us as DERCO to at a substantive level present our property portfolio or our property management and maintenance strategy. Given the fact, Chair, that when we speak about properties, in particular for foreign services purposes, it of course consists of your chanceries, your official residence, and staff accommodation. And I think it's important that we do take the portfolio committee into confidence in relation to the number of properties that we are actually occupying that are state owned and the public properties that we are occupying through the processes, Chair, because I think we have done a commitment that the last administration really only rent properties where no other state-owned properties are available, and that fits the norms and standards of the mission in question, and including, Chair, probably to be. Because I know the AG statements normally contain the immovable asset register, so that in a more systematic and a more detailed discussion how we seek to do the maintenance of properties that we are currently occupying, in particular that are state-owned, Chair. So I just thought that I must make this type of a recommendation that probably if the PC could find time that we have one particular session only allocated to substantively discuss our property portfolio, I think that will probably to help in terms of the overarching guidance. Thank you very much.
Thank you very much, Honorable Deputy Minister Alvin. Minister, do you want to have a bite?
Yes, thank you very much, Chairperson, and thank you for the opportunity from the Honorable Members. I agree with the suggestion by the Deputy Minister and will look into it, although I do recognize, Chair, from the letter that I received from you with the next few meetings agenda that we will be beginning that process of giving a full overview to the committee on the property matters. So I think you've already proactively addressed that, but I think the Honorable Botus is right. I just wanted, Chairperson, to indicate that there is no intention to appoint a new ICT company. I think what was indicated in the presentation, and we do apologize that it was late to the committee, we will work hard to ensure that in future the committee has sufficient time to read over the presentation, because the matters that some of the members are raising I indeed in the presentation, and it's just that it was late that the members were not able to identify the issues, but it will be our ICT unit within the department. We now have a chief information officer who I think is beginning to lead the section very, very well, and they will assist with what needs to be done. So we are working hard, I wish to assure Honorable Swaz and Honorable Mswani, to ensure that we don't waste resources. I also want to assure the Honourable Chetty that there isn't any fancy footwork. We are not by any means being dishonest with the Portfolio Committee, nor do we intend to do some of the matters that he says of creativity that he says have been an occurrence in the past. And I think we will work hard to ensure that the committee increasingly develops trust, both in the officials of the department and in ourselves as the ministry. But I really assure the committee that there's no intention to dissemble or be dishonest. I thank you very much, Chairperson, for this opportunity.
Thank you very much, Honorable Minister. Honorable members, if there is no other questions, we can declare our meeting closed because we have exhausted the engagement on the presentation itself. We just need to ensure that the department stick on the time frames, infuse the proposal to that which we've made as a portfolio committee, because we need to be mindful of the fact that the mission is in a danger zone. The hospital where they are is a hospital that is looking specifically on COVID cases. So with that in mind, the mission must move as in a matter of yesterday out of that building. We can't wait for ICT. It needs to be done ASAP. Honorable, it's a matter of death. This is one word.
Chair, I don't mind accepting what the minister has said, but I just want to let her know that already, and it's not her doing, but already you've been misled. And this is why I raised the case.
Honorable,
if
you see Mr. Alvin, mute your mic.
Oh, Chair, the Deputy Minister tried to sabotage me.
Can you mute your mic, Honorable Deputy Minister? Your mic is on.
Sorry, Chair. Yeah. Thank you, Chair. You see, Chair, I have said I appreciate the fact that the minister has given us insurance. There's no fancy footwork or creativity. But unfortunately, I can justify it. Go back and listen to the recording. The acting DG just misled us by telling us that it is $37 a square meter. The presentation will tell you clearly it's $42 per square meter. Big difference it makes when you're renting two floors. And that's why I raised the issue around the previous one that we were getting for $31 a square meter. The other thing, Chairperson, I know I'm not going to drag this longer because some people want to go home and sleep, but this will not be left here. When it comes back to the next committee meeting, there is more that we will deal with this. I agree they must move, but there is something definitely wrong that of 12 properties, you can only find one that's suitable. That's unacceptable. You can find more. The fact that the acting DG has evaded all of the questions I've asked, the reasons why, and I just said that to you. Chair, as I close, I didn't want to hold a meeting when you started. I asked the acting DG, since she's been appointed as the acting DG, apart from the suspension of the Director General, has any other official been placed under suspension in the department? I'm still waiting for that answer. She hasn't answered me yet. I'll appreciate an answer. Thank you, Chair.
Can we answer that question, Honorable or Acting DG?
Thank you. Thank you very much, Honorable Chair. Yes, there has been an official suspended since the suspension of the DG. Thank you very much, Honorable Chair.
So we're going to read about it in the press.
Honorable Chetty, why are you disruptive?
My apologies, Chair. I forgot my mic wasn't on.
I just want to, before we close the meeting, bring to the attention of the minister that Cushman and Wakefield is mentioned here to be the estate agent that assisted our mission there to find this, are the same people who presented a parking lot to us when we were in New York. And this Cushman and Wakefield is the one minister that is partnering with Bernice Africa's husband. As per the information which you got on oversight, honorable members who were on oversight, I'm just reminding you that we are sitting on a time bomb again. This particular property or offices as well, we might have problems. Probably that's why the department doesn't want the mission to move ASAP out of that hospital, which is very dangerous for them as well. But however, we are not going to be tired of doing our oversight work. We'll have an oversight, and we are visiting mission as well, and we will visit the mission of New York again as a follow-up. But I just that I should remind honorable members who were there, and also to bring to the attention of the minister the issue of Cushman and Wakefield as it was presented to us when we were in New York. Without wasting time, honorable members, let me take this opportunity and thank the department for coming and present to us on this particular important matter of our offices in New York, and hoping that by the end of the month, the mission would have to their new building and ensure that the offices are in operation as recommended by the portfolio committee. And thank you very much again, Minister, for bringing the department with you, the portfolio committee, and present on this particular matter. Honorable members, our meeting is adjourned. Thank you very much for your time and your contributions to our meeting. Thank you very much. The meeting is adjourned.
Thank you, Chairperson.